the minute someone feels seen, you know what they do? They start pouring out their heart. And that started happening to me. And now I'm sharing the gospel with someone who is already pouring out their heart. They already feel like they're being seen. And what's happening is Jesus is looking at them through me. And he wants to do that through you. Evangelism is not about you looking for lost people. Evangelism is about you walking with Jesus, because he's the one looking for them. This still small voice whispers to me, the lady sitting next to you on the plane, you helped her with her luggage, but I ordered heaven and earth for her to sit by you because today was the day she's open for the gospel. I encourage you at the end of each day, ask Jesus, is there any place that I missed you?
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are so excited to see you here today. My name is Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
And what a delight to be here with you today. If this is your first time tuning into this podcast,
yeah, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we want to remind you to go to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com because we have a powerful ebook and audio compilation called Unstoppable, and it's free. We want you to download it. It's mind-blowing breakthroughs, six powerful real-life stories that will rock your world.
Seriously,
so go there and grab it.
Yeah, please. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about sharing your faith. It's not going to be, I don't think, what you think it's going to be, because when we get into that whole topic of witnessing for the Lord, man, I'm telling you, we get tripped up in a hurry.
We do. Sometimes we feel like, oh my goodness, maybe I can't do this. I'm going to get rejected, or I don't know what to say, or what if I'm intruding?
I mean, shouldn't I know more about apologetics
and
have a degree in theology? Because I'll just stumble all over the place. But you're going to, listen, you are going to have a breakthrough today. I promise you that.
Yes.
You're going to be freed up to make this such a wonderful, joyful part of your life that you can't possibly resist it.
That the ordinary
can
take part in.
You'll find out about that towards the end of the episode. So our guest today, David McIver, is the executive director of Praise Live Radio, which includes FM signals in the upper Midwest, in Africa, and the Middle East. And the purpose of Praise Live is for every tribe and nation to experience Jesus together. David and his wife, Sherry, served with the Baseball Chapel and the Minnesota Twins for 14 seasons.
That's amazing. Well, David is the author of Looking for the One, a collection of short stories about people experiencing Jesus in grocery stores, hospitals, and dugouts. Each story equips you to walk with Jesus as he looks for the one through you.
Oh, so good. People worldwide are discovering that as you look for the one, you become like the one. Man, that is so powerful. You become more like Jesus. And David's mission is to equip followers of Jesus to look for the one.
So good. Enjoy the show. Well, welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough, David McIver. We are so excited to have you with us. What a treat.
Honored to join you. Of course, Todd is longtime friend and mentor. Seriously, Wendy,
thank you.
All the times he came and washed our feet helping us lead our fundraisers on the air. And I learned so much about communicating from watching Todd in action that it literally changed my life. Seriously changed my life.
This is being recorded. You know this, David.
I know.
Bless you. Well, let me just flip it around for a minute too, because when we had teams out helping radio stations doing their fundraisers, we can get very focused, you know, on getting the phones to ring or people to respond. David would come into the studio. We'd be in the middle of a hard pitch and he'd go, all right, guys, this is great. Let's go vertical. Let's take a moment and let's put our focus on the Lord and pray. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So I still think of that and still on occasion remind myself, hey, bud, go vertical.
That's so good. Well, anyway, thank you for being on. We want to just jump right to it and find out about your faith. Like, when did it all start? How did you come to faith and your walk with Jesus? Let's just kind of unpack that first.
When I share my faith story, I share about my Aunt Minnie Armerding, who was a missionary for decades. This was in Southwest United States, and she served just virtually invisibly. No one really heard her stories, but our family knew the stories of people giving their lives to Christ. And so here she is, somehow, some way, I've not met her until I'm a teenager. I'm around 15 or 16 years old. And the day that I meet her, it's in a nursing home type facility. So not the greatest place to meet, but she pulls out this battered old spiral notebook, the kind you would take to school that you pay a dollar for. Yeah. And she says, "I want you to see something." And she pages through it, and there's all these names. She points at my name in her notebook. Oh. And she says, "I've not missed a single day of your life. I prayed for you as you were being knit together in your mother's womb, and I've not missed a day."
Man. Wow.
So when I'm 5 years old, I'm sitting on my red wagon on our farm, and I'm suddenly aware of heaven and hell, and just how do I know that I belong to Jesus? And so I believe it was the prayers of my Aunt Minnie that I'm sitting there with no one around me, and I am suddenly aware of a presence. Mm. And I ran inside, and my mom is baking bread. My mother, Wendy, you'll be interested to know this. Back in the 1960s, she was somewhat controversial, somewhat mocked by certain people because she went all organic, all health.
Oh, I love it.
So she would buy a 100-pound sack of organic wheat from the Seppinen farm and bring it home. And she would she had her own stone mill, and she made her own yogurt. And so she's baking this organic, wholesome bread. She's kneading the bread. And moms, you can relate to this. She doesn't break stride. She's got flour up to her elbows.
Yeah.
And she walks me through the gospel. And the first time I hear the gospel, because my Aunt Minnie cried out for me, I ran outside, sat down in my wagon, and gave my life to Jesus. And that's
at age five. That is so beautiful, David. Yeah. And what a reminder that the power of prayer,
even
when you don't know that someone's praying for you, that prayer is being heard, and there's intervention. So
from that point on, you learned to walk with the Lord. You learned how to worship and pray, and you had good family surroundings. So you had a good environment to be brought up in. But you had a breakthrough later in your life. You want to talk about that? Well, you'd mentioned that after years of trying to be a witness for Jesus, you had these various levels of frustration, and hello, who doesn't? Whoever wants to witness for Jesus, with the exception of very few, are generally frustrated that they're not doing it like they think they ought to or should. But Jesus revealed something to you. Tell us, just walk us through that story. When did that happen? How did that happen? What was the result?
So when I was growing up in this Christian home, for instance, I would go to Bible camp, and one of the counselors, we decided we would go door to door in the neighborhood with gospel tracts, and a great guy, great heart, and he just got into one scuffle after another, one shouting match with a guy, and I'm standing there watching this, going, this, you know, maybe it's effective, I don't know, but I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
And so in the midst of this, I have a dear friend who, he's on his face before the Lord, and this is over 20 years ago, he just gets this phrase, one a day. God, I'm going to ask you for one a day, one encounter a day. Hmm. And so he tells me about this. And so I start attempting this, and it is literally not going well. It is frustrating. It's awkward. And I know you can relate as you're listening right now, where you've attempted to share your faith, and it ends up pushing people away. And it's just, something's wrong.
I'm just curious, Dave, what were sort of, as you look back, what were you not doing right when you were making those attempts?
So here's the breakthrough. I was not, number one, asking Jesus to do it through me. Somehow I put myself at the center of the gospel. I'm going to share this message. I'm going to win you. Mm. And secondly, it's all about the materials that I have. So John Maxwell famously shares that there are speakers and there are communicators. Speakers are focused on their notes and how they're doing. And you have communicators, and Todd, I'm not really trying to be weird here, but Todd, you are a communicator. I was undone by being around you, because the whole time you were speaking on the radio, it's like you saw people. Hmm. And so finally, I'm before the Lord, and the Lord just said, if you would remove yourself from the center of this, and if you would simply walk with me, And I started getting up each day. Before I take a single step, I would slide out of bed. Bill Bright talked about this. And I would slide to my knees and ask Jesus to speak through me. And I had never done that. And so when I started praying that, I'd walk into a room and I would look around the room and I would know who it was. Out of 100 people, how do you know? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so I'd walk into a room and I would see someone, and not only would I know they were the one, but I would have a phrase that would just come to me, like they're lonely or they're angry. And it was such a step of faith to then approach that person, start talking to them. But it's like having this Holy Spirit nudge to guide the conversation to, okay, in the midst of COVID, it's not hard to say, is loneliness an issue in your life? And then watching people, because they feel seen, because you're actually looking at them, the minute someone feels seen, you know what they do? They start pouring out their heart. And that started happening to me. And now I'm sharing the gospel with someone who is already pouring out their heart. They already feel like they're being seen. And what's happening is Jesus is looking at them through me. And he wants to do that through you.
That's beautiful.
Wow. We could just camp here all the rest of the entire day. because it's so simple and so profound and yet so ignored. And what it really requires is this step of faith, this expectation that when you say, Jesus, let me see what you see, look through me, speak through me, and feel through me, you have to have that expectation that he's actually going to do that.
And the surrender of your agenda and maybe even a little bit of your ego around it, unfortunately.
Big time. So you've had this incredible career as a leader in Christian radio. You've got this awesome network. It's a big platform. And I'm just thinking about the contrast, because your heart is to share the gospel and encourage and equip the believers who are listening. But at the same time, you're drawn now to the one-on-one, looking for the one. And I think right there, David, it sort of demyths the idea that you're never impactful or effective unless you've got a big audience. Here you're telling us, no, Jesus actually wants to work through you just for one person, just the one. And so after Jesus revealed that to you, you started to really focus on the one. And just talk a little bit more about how you're able to sort of reconcile that. I mean, some would say, well, it's only one. It's not, you know, thousands. Well, you got the radio ministry reaching thousands, but you're reaching one.
But the one has a ripple effect.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I started reading the scriptures and it was like it was all brand new, because yes, Jesus speaks to large crowds, but when you follow his life, you see him seeing things that other people don't see. You know, and in the scriptures, it says when he saw the crowds, he saw they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
And you would see him when someone would call out, he would stop. Or when someone said, you know, don't take time for the children. Here's Jesus saying, these children who are unnamed, not part of any great parable in the scriptures, they mattered enough to Jesus. And I someday part of heaven is really going to be fascinating, because we might get to see replays of him speaking life over children, or some child that became this amazing servant. Because you know, as he's holding and he's laying his hands on these children, what is he doing? He's seeing them. And so I began literally, I would walk into a grocery store and ask Jesus, you know, who it is. And I remember I was driving through Wisconsin, and it's late, I'm tired, and I'm trying to get back to the Twin Cities, and I stop at a Quick Trip, and as I'm going just to grab a quick bathroom break, something to sip on, and I see this elderly woman, and it's interesting, she's like one of these dear ladies, but a little vertically challenged. She's like 4 feet 11, okay? Yeah. And I'm watching her, and I am actually seeing her. Which is like as you're listening right now, when you walk into a grocery store and there's all these people, let's say there's 40 people around you, the person who catches your attention for a supernatural reason. So here's this dear lady, and I watch her. She's looking up at this gallon of milk, but she can't reach it. So here's how simple it is to share the gospel. All I did was walk over and say, hey, do you need a hand? And she's like, yeah. And so I help her I lower the milk into her basket, her cart. And then here's how simple it is. Oh, you're shopping. How's it going? Is there anything special coming up? And she said, my family is coming. They're driving in, like, they're like from Michigan and they're coming to Wisconsin. She said, I haven't seen them in years. Mm-hmm. And it's this big family gathering. And so we said goodbye. And so I'm watching her going around the store. And then Todd and Wendy, as I'm watching her and felt drawn to her, I noticed her. She's still for a long time. And she goes and she starts putting things back one by one in the shelves. Oh. Mm. And I stopped by. And all I did, I just saw her. And I just saw this, there was this pain. And I said, are you okay? And she said, well, I wanted to have a special meal for my family. But she said, I can't afford all these groceries. Yeah. Mm. So I just said, well, we're going to retrace your steps. I said, you're going to have a special meal for your family. Oh, cool. And so we go up to the counter, and Wendy, I can picture you as the mama in this moment. Like, do you even care at this moment what it costs?
No.
Because you want her to have this moment.
Yes. Like, I've got tears in my eyes thinking about it. Yeah.
So then, because I noticed she couldn't reach the milk, now I'm helping her place the items into the back of her little red Ford car that is spotlessly clean, by the way. I love that about her, that she's got everything all done. And so then, as I'm sharing Jesus more and more, I just pray with people first and ask Jesus to touch them and bless them. And I did that for her. And we're holding hands out in the parking lot. The sun is setting. And I get done praying for her. And then as she's saying thank you, I said, well, it was Jesus who drew me to notice you. And it's Jesus who loves you. And Jesus wants you to have this amazing family gathering. And Jesus wants you to know him. And would you like to know him? And she said, yeah, I really would. And so here I am, crying my way through leading her to Christ. And I give her a little card called the Salvation Poem card so she can note the day of her salvation. And I get back in my vehicle, and Jesus on one occasion said, my food is to do the will of the Father. So a few minutes ago, I'm exhausted and weary. And now I'm in my vehicle and I'm having church. I'm just like, Jesus, that was so like he ordered, think of it. He ordered me to arrive at the moment she's looking up at a gallon of milk. Like, he orders heaven and earth, her yeah. schedule, my schedule meet, because that morning I just said, Jesus, look for someone through me. Mm. And it was that simple.
But think of how many times, David, that the little old ladies are around us all the time and we're not noticing. We're so in our own world and selfish and self-absorbed with our own thing that we're missing the one. Mm-hmm. And so, let's talk a little bit about that, because it's so important to look for the one.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, and I was going to say, and expect that God is actually going to reveal somebody. I think that's
good.
I think that's the one thing that provides this sort of this hurdle that we don't seem to want to jump over, or we forget that, you know, we can jump over it. Because everybody has that same desire, David, to want to share Christ. But to get up in the morning and to believe that God can show me the one and that he will take over from there, that's a whole different level. So I just have to just ask you, how do you build that expectation? How does someone who is not used to doing that, what can they do to make that become a daily practice?
So one of a really great first step is to surrender your schedule. So I have a friend named Vern Anderson, and if you're listening in the Alexandria, Minnesota area, you've heard of Douglas Machine. Vern founded this amazing company. They built packaging machines that go around the world. And he mentored me, still mentors me. But he talks about how when the Lord asked him to lay down his schedule, he's like, God, there is no time for you. There's no time to read your word. I'm completely overwhelmed and undone by my schedule. And the minute he yielded his schedule, his entire team, of course, knows that all of a sudden he has time for everybody. And what happens to the business as Vern is taking time for the one? The business is growing, it's developing, and suddenly there's new income and there's new customers.
Mm. God blesses it.
So, yeah.
Surrender the schedule.
So then, and the other aspect of looking for the one is you do that as someone who abides. Because Jesus said, unless you're walking with me and abiding with me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So evangelism is not about you looking for lost people. Evangelism is about you walking with Jesus, because he's the one looking for them.
Well, that's a good word. Yeah, that's a good
word.
Put
the brakes on for a second here.
Yeah.
Evangelism is not, what did you say?
It's not about looking for someone. It's not about you trying to find someone.
Yeah.
It's Jesus finding the one through you. Mm. And that revelation, I was reading Ezekiel 34, and notice who's the one that's looking for the lost. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It's so personal to him. I myself will search and find my sheep. I'll be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. And we're going to paraphrase this. I'll be like a shepherd looking for this beautiful elderly woman in a Quick Trip in Wisconsin. Hmm. I will find her. I'll find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. That's from Ezekiel 34. And Ian Thomas, many of us have not heard of him, but he was a well-known evangelist in the 1940s and 50s. Ron Hutchcraft, great evangelist, told me about Ian Thomas. But Ian Thomas tried to share the gospel like daily for years. This is over 5 years. He's going out and he's sometimes having multiple encounters with people. He's holding meetings. And Todd and Wendy, in over 5 years, he has zero decisions for Christ. So he goes before the Lord and he's ticked off.
Yeah.
And he's honest enough to say, I quit.
Uh-huh.
And the Holy Spirit, in so many words, said to him, well, finally, thank you. You have thought I was going to honor your efforts to win the lost. Mm. You have thought I was going to honor your efforts to be at the center of the gospel, but I will have no part of that.
Wow.
But if you would like to see what I could do through you, then tomorrow ask me to speak through you. Mm. So Ian Thomas thinks it's kind of the same thing. So, but he gets up the next day and he's speaking to a group of young boys. There's like 100 young boys, and he's walking up to the group and saying, oh, Jesus, this is the first time it's not me. Would you speak through me? Mm. And 30 young men came up and gave their lives to Jesus.
Wow.
And he's like you and I. He's like, let's do that again. So he starts praying right. that every day. And literally, it is day after day after day. Jesus, would you do this through me? And this morning when I got out of bed, I love to repent of anything I'm doing that has me at the center of the gospel. If I felt rejected by someone who's not interested in the gospel, it's because I'm at the center of the gospel.
Mm.
If it's Jesus through me, if someone says no, they've said no to him. And that is life changing right there, because you just shake that's dust that you shake off of your feet, because Jesus is at the center of the gospel.
I think that's such a good word, because I believe a lot of people are in fear of that rejection, and it's simply because they're putting themselves at the center of it. And so if they'll just surrender their agenda and let Jesus do the work, then that's what counts. So
what is so great about what you've moved into, David, in the last years, and the book that I've got to hold it up here, Looking for the One, which is a phenomenal book of incredible stories. But along with that, I love that at the end of each short chapter where you tell a story, you give us an opportunity to get better equipped. So you've got a reflect area, an equip area, then a prayer, and then a discussion area. And so I've got a friend, he and I are going through this, and we're loving it. So I just want to say that one of the things you're doing as a result, what you're helping us with, is you're freeing us from the fear and the frustration and the intimidation of, well, we've got to get out there and share the gospel.
Yeah.
And our thinking has been so messed up on it that we just back away. Like, I'm not equipped, people say. I don't know the Bible that well.
And why would Jesus use me? Because
maybe
they haven't fully received his love and kindness and mercy.
So obviously we put up a lot of barriers and excuses, but really what you're doing in the simplicity of it is so freeing, and you have story after story. And I think people right now are wondering, okay, I think I'm buying into this. I think I like this, but how do I go about looking for the one? What, is there a certain formula I got to use to look for the one?
So the walking with Jesus as the foundation. So as Todd and Wendy are talking about, it's spending time in his word. It's being aware of him. And then it's, as you go through the day, you're in two conversations at once.
Mm.
So you're visiting with someone, and as you're talking to them, you're just whispering a prayer. Jesus, are they the one? And I was just listening, this was last week, Billy Graham, years ago, is speaking at the 100th anniversary for Moody Bible Institute. So this incredible event where he's giving thanks for the Bible Institute and for the pilots that have been trained. And as he's speaking to the student body and to the administrators and to all the dignitaries, he suddenly stops and he says, there's someone here, there's some ones here, and you don't know the Lord. And he just whispered to me, and he said, because as I'm speaking to you, the whole time I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to him.
That's
and
good.
Here's Billy Graham. So as you're going through the day, if you go looking for the one, what happens? And this is the supernatural part of this that is so sweet. You become more and more aware of Jesus because you're walking with him. And you're aware of him. You're listening for that little whisper, and in those moments, you're abiding with him. And I encourage you at the end of each day, ask Jesus, "Is there any place I missed you?" And I started doing this years ago, and I thought that I would be scolded. I thought that the Lord would be like, "Really? I mean, you are." For years, I felt like God looked at me and he shook his head, just like, what a wretched disappointment. That was, and I never could tell anyone that. But a few years ago, I flew to Florida. And so it's a flight from the Twin Cities to Fort Myers. And at the end of the day, I asked Jesus, you know, just let's talk about the day. What did you see today? And all of a sudden, he's reminding me of something that I'd done something that was kind to someone in the airport, just this little 2-second thing. But then this still small voice whispers to me, the lady sitting next to you on the plane, you helped her with her luggage. But I ordered heaven and earth for her to sit by you because today was the day she's open for the gospel. And I'm instantly undone because I'd helped her. I'd introduced myself. I mentioned something about being a pastor. And then I'd literally worked for the entire flight because I was so swamped. And it was like, God, just this, I can't engage in a conversation. I'm so behind. And so as I'm falling asleep, Todd and Wendy, here's the prayer you can pray if you've missed it. I said, Jesus, would you give me another chance with her? Mm-hmm. What an impossible prayer.
Right.
So the next day I go to Hammond Stadium. If you're a baseball fan, the Twins spring training in Fort Myers stadium holds about 8,000 people. I step into the mezzanine as the game is about to begin, which is packed wall to wall people. And I look up and she is 3 feet from me.
No way.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Hey, it's so good to see you. And I, because I asked Jesus, this is this childish part of this, to tell me about my day. I said, you know, I want just to apologize. I said, I don't feel like I was very good company yesterday. And she said, well, that's okay. She said, I wanted to ask you a question, but I could see you were busy. So here's the looking for the one principle. When someone says that, you ask, what question did you want to ask? It's that simple.
Right.
And you're not this, you don't have a PhD in theology, or you don't have, you know, you feel like you're a rookie in terms of your walk with Christ. But I said, well, what was the question? She said, well, 50 years ago, I went to hear Billy Graham and he gave an invitation, but she said, I didn't feel like I was good enough. Mm-hmm. And you know, Billy would clearly explain the gospel, but she missed it. She said, I've always felt like the good had to outweigh the bad. Mm-hmm. But she said, I've wanted to ask somebody for 50 years. Is that how it works? She's been waiting 50 years to ask this question. And the King of Kings, who sees me, Mr. Looking for the One, you know, orders our seats to be, you know,
amazing,
next to each other on the plane. And she's been looking for 50 years to ask this question. And now I'm too busy for her. So when I ask for a second chance, what does he do? Wow. He lines up our footsteps.
He sure likes you both.
Isn't it the pursuing love of God?
Oh. So precious. Yeah.
I walk her through, you know, it's of course, Ephesians 2, that we're, it's not by works that we would boast. And the minute she hears the gospel, I mean, she's praying. And it's like, it's so cool. In this moment, we're surrounded by people, but it's like we're all alone. Mm. And the look on her face, she's crying. I'm fighting back the tears. She opens her eyes. And by the way, if you dare to do this, you get to see people. It's like you're in the birthing room. Mm. And if you're a mom or dad and you were there when your son or daughter took their first breath, you remember that moment when you saw their eyes open for the first time, and you get this glimpse of something that God has knit together in his image. When you're there, when the lady in the stadium says, "Jesus, save me," mm. it's a gift I receive. And you get to see the look on her face. That's greater than any fear. That's greater than any expertise. And the second thing that happened, her son came up at this exact moment, and he's like, "Mom, are you okay?" And she's like, "I've got to tell you what just happened." And so as she's about to turn away, I said, "You know what? There's more." I said, "You mentioned Billy Graham." I said, "Are you aware of what's happening at this exact second?" And she said, "No." I said, "Well, I was watching the news this morning," and I said, "Billy Graham passed away, and his funeral is taking place at this exact second. You gave your life to Christ during wow. Billy Graham's funeral, yeah. who planted wow. the seed of the gospel 50 years ago."
That's so cool.
You can't make
that stuff up, David. That is powerful. Supernatural.
That's miracle territory right yeah. there. Now I know,
but
some,
so simple.
But some, yeah, it is, and it's so, God is so capable. Are we just willing? But some people are thinking, "All right, well, David, that's like you've got an advanced degree in that, because there's just no way." So before we let you go, you have so many great stories. We could spend another hour telling just a handful, but there's one story I think that will help us see how simple it can be. It doesn't need to be complicated. And if you have the willing heart, God can actually sort of put this magnetic field around you and draw people to you. But talk about banana bread guy.
All right. So I'm sharing in churches and sharing on Praise Live Radio about the miracle of asking Jesus to look for the one through you. And of course, we're getting all these stories back from people who are saying, "I've shared Jesus for the first time." And by the way, I spoke to one of the executive leaders of a global evangelism ministry, one of the biggest on earth. And I said, "Is it really true that it's about 96% of us have never walked someone through the gospel and literally been there as they gave their life to Christ?" And he said, "Our latest studies show it's even worse than that. It's 98% of the followers of Jesus have never led someone to Jesus." Mm-hmm. And that is going to change.
And did he say why? Is it because they don't feel worthy? Is it because they're not in right relationship with Jesus? Did he say why it's so staggering?
There's this whole research going on. Lifeway just did a survey a few years ago, and it's 78% of people in America have said, "If you would ask me about my faith or my spiritual life, I would love to tell you. Or I'd love to even listen into a conversation about what is like real, like spiritual truth." And so there's a long list of reasons. I believe the greatest reason is that we somehow have made ourselves the center of what only Jesus can do. Only he can open someone's eyes. Hmm. And so so the story Todd is referring to, I go up to a lake, it's called Battle Lake, and my friends Ed and Sylvia own this cabin, and I went there to ask the Lord, "Do you really want me to write this book? I don't have time. I'm not an author, and no one knows who I am." And I'm before the Lord, and I'm feeling the weight of how do I possibly do this? I don't have any connections, marketing, publishing, none of it. And I felt this presence of God come over me, just to keep it really simple and just to keep Jesus at the center and just tell the stories, and that he would take the book where he wanted to take it. And in the midst of this, Ed and Sylvia had mentioned that Jason would be doing some work at the cabin. The deck had fallen apart, and so I could hear some power tools out there. And so I went outside and met him just for 2 minutes. We talked guy talk a little bit about the tools and about his truck, you know, I came back inside, and at lunchtime, Sylvia had felt prompted to make banana bread. And so I have a slice of banana bread, and I'm watching Jason and Todd. I don't know your skill level. I'm watching this guy, and he's like amazing. Like, it's like, he just glances, he cuts. I mean, it's like, it's all one motion, which I have none of those skills.
Yeah. That wouldn't be me either. No. Yeah. I like watching guys like that.
Yeah. So Jason's hard at work, and all of a sudden I notice he's getting out his lunch bucket, and this still small voice, this prompting, bring Jason a slice of Sylvia's banana bread. And, Wendy, I know you're a life coach and a health coach, but my wife, she's very into health food, but she also loves butter. So she has this thing about, is everything's better with butter. And so I bring Jason his slice of banana bread, and it's got the double coating of butter. Ooh. And that's it. Like, I just said, hey, just wanted you to have this as part of your lunch. No spiritual conversation, but a simple nudge or prompting. And so then I start literally saying, okay, what stories would I tell? And I'm starting to just type. And mid-afternoon, I go out and kayak for a while, and I go fishing, and there's some bass, and it was a really cool moment. But I'm paddling back to shore, and I'm a long way from shore, and I see this person standing, staring out in my direction. And I keep paddling and paddling, and this person's like a statue. And I get closer and closer, and I see it's Jason. And he's just standing there, and he's just watching me paddle toward shore. And I get up to the shore, and he just said, can we have a minute? And I said, okay, sure. And the minute was, he said, just so you know, I listened to Praise Live, and I actually know your voice.
Oh.
And he said, what happened as a little boy, my dad left our family. And he said, there's, you know, a dad that's a pastor, and all of the things and all the pain. And he just shared, I've been angry at God for decades. I've been distant from God for decades. And I was sitting in my truck because seeing you reminded me of just all that pain. And it was just, it all came flooding back. And in the midst of all that pain, and I'm just sitting there just feeling so far away, so unseen. In this moment, you came walking out with banana bread. And he said, I breathed in the aroma. I took the first bite. And when I breathed in, when I took the first bite, he said, I took the first step back to Jesus.
Mm. Wow.
And I'm going,
the power of banana bread with butter, I guess.
Yeah, man. Big time.
And Jesus. Hello.
Oh, wow.
And then prayed with him. There was something specific that we prayed about. And I called Sylvia because she had felt prompted. You know, my sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
Sylvia had felt prompted to exercise her God-given gift of hospitality and make banana bread. And so I told her the story of what happened to Jason. And if you are an introvert, and if you say, all I can do is bring cookies to neighbors who are just moving in, all I can do is have people, all I can do is open my home up so people walk in and they smell something that they never smell, which is a home cooked meal,
yeah,
right?
Do it.
Think of the smell of bread in the oven when someone comes into your home. Mm-hmm. And if you say, well, I can't, you know, it's Satan that's whispering, hospitality doesn't matter. Banana bread doesn't matter. It's the King of Kings who says, I gave you the heart to wash people's feet. I gave you the heart that when there's a new neighbor that you see them, and you bring them something that you have made it. It's the work of your hands. So
that is beautiful,
powerful,
David.
Man.
Oh
so
my
that's
goodness!
Jason. And he's powerful. We put his story as the first chapter in the book, and I love one of the first comments that came back. I shared about looking for the one in the Lutheran church, and this pastor, he just said, our people are literally, they have engaged in the gospel. Like, they're going one-to-one-to-one. What they thought was impossible, now they're seeing it as person-to-person, heart-to-heart. And he said, one of the people in our church said, what's so cool about, cool, quote-unquote, about meeting David is that he's so ordinary. and he said, we've all been talking and we can do ordinary.
Yes.
Well, there's a verse in the book of Acts about some guys who were ordinary, but they had been with Jesus. Yeah. And so if you feel like you don't have the answers, thank God, because the follower of Jesus that has all the answers is really hard to stomach for everyone who just cuts you off. They're only talking. They've got all the answers. And if you're the one saying, I don't know the answer to that question, but why are you asking it? And all of a sudden, they're feeling the love of Jesus, and Jesus answers all their questions. You don't. I mean, you can point people to answers you have, but you point people to Jesus.
Oh, that's beautiful. Man. Well, so encouraging and inspiring, you know, and something that we all need to hear and be reminded of, right? Yeah.
Well, focus on the one. I think we're convinced that if you really do want to share the gospel, you don't have to be the Billy Graham in doing it that particular way, right? Mm-hmm. You can actually be you, an ordinary person with your personality.
So he can be extraordinary.
So that God can then take over through you. And I mean, again, I think it just starts with saying, God, I want to do this, and I believe that you want me to do this, and I believe that you will do it through me. So show me the one today. David, thank you so much for putting it together in a book, and whatever opportunities that God brings your way, so that you can help encourage us, teach us, motivate us, inspire us. That's exactly what these stories do. So cannot thank you enough.
Honored to be a part of this program. And I would love to pray something over your podcast family, because if you're listening to the podcast, I know David and Wendy see you. They don't see you as an audience; they see you as family.
Yeah.
And so I read this yesterday. This is from a commentary called it's from David Guzik, the Enduring Word Commentary, and he frequently quotes Spurgeon and Warren Wiersbe, some of my favorites. So I have a warm spot for David Guzik, but he's talking about the verse that says you have an anointing from the Holy One. It's in 1 John 2:20. When we hear the word anointing, Todd and Wendy, we think of someone with a global ministry, or they've got a giant media ministry. And what David Guzik points out is that the only other place where the New Testament speaks about anointing is in 1 John 2:20 and 2:27. And the phrase in this is, you have received the anointing from him who abides in you. And the anointing here is anointing to serve. Yeah, it's an anointing to walk with Jesus. It's an anointing to hear his voice. That's what the anointing is. And so I want to pray over you as a part of this family.
Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the anointing on your servant to bake banana bread or to invite people who feel invisible into their home, and to just listen to their story, and to be content with seeing the one. And so I thank you for the fact that if we say yes to the one, that at that point the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and you've anointed us to see a generation one by one, and to see broken hearts healed, and to see lost found, and to see people questioning their gender, see people angry about politics, all the things that are the symptoms of people who are really looking for you. And so we would say to this generation, come and see, taste and see, the Lord is good. And Jesus, we pray that you would show us all the ways that we can decrease and be invisible and not have the answers, so that people would be found by you. That would give us great joy. And I pray an anointing over this amazing podcast and these two who are so open, so honest, and just invite us to walk with them. And I pray that you would open doors for this breakthrough podcast as people get a glimpse of the Son of God. And I pray you do more than they could ask or think, and bless them. And I just thank you that there is a heart of humility in these two that is so winsome. And I just thank you for the doors, literally the thousands and thousands of people who would love to come and just be a part of this family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, David. Bless you, my friend. We're so thankful for your time. And thank you again for heeding to the call to write this book.
I'm going to hold it up for those viewers.
Yes, make sure you get it. Looking for the one.
You have to get this book. It will
Amazon, best place to get it?
We have Amazon, Hobby Lobby nationwide.
Oh, great!
Which is really the stories coming in from people like Larry. Larry's from Texas. He felt compelled to buy something that he'd never heard of, and now Now he's sending me notes like the city's on fire around him as people are. The book is, they can't keep it in stock in this little city in Texas.
I love it.
Total God stories. And yeah, there's Amazon's pricing. This is being really honest, is $25 for a hardcover. If you get it from lookingforthe1.org, it's going to be less than that because I'm offering discounts. We have a nonprofit, so we can serve you.
Awesome.
If you email david@praiselive.org, we're going to have a drawing for, I think we had said five individuals who are going to receive the book. But if there's someone you're looking for that you feel like is just, they're never going to invite Jesus in, would you please email me so I can be one more person praying or encouraging you? I would be honored to stand with you for the one that just seems so unreachable. So david@praiselive.org, and that's not to send you fundraising requests. That's to be a part of crying out that Jesus does what you can't do, because you can't open their eyes, but Jesus can.
That's right. Oh my goodness, David, you're amazing. We're so blessed to know you. Thank you for being on the show.
We're going to put that information in the show notes too.
Yes, we will.
Just to make sure you've got it and you can act on it.
Lookingfortheone.org. So bless you, my friend. Thank you for being on Your Biggest Breakthrough, but hopefully we'll see you and Sherry soon.
I'm sensing there's a lunch appointment.
Okay, I think so. All right.
All right.
God bless you.
Love you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com, where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.